A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George. It is Wednesday, January 15th of 2025. We are another day closer to Saturday, where hopefully our Houston Texans will get vengeance. Vengeance for the 2015-2016 playoffs, and vengeance for the 2019-2020 playoffs. They're going back to the scene of the crime, a place where they had a 24-0 lead, then gave up a 51-7 run. It happens, especially against those Kansas City
Honestly,
Chiefs.
Honestly, I forgot that it was that much.
It was 51-7. I forgot about it too, Joe. I was listening to an NFL podcast this morning, and I believe it was Connor Orr who said, yeah, the Texans got outscored 51-7 after jumping out to that 24-0 lead. I, for some reason, thought the final score was in the 40s, maybe the high 30s. No, they lost 51-24. Actually, 51-31. My bad.
What was
Texas
that?
Got a little more points.
Was that 2019?
It was the 2019 season,
yeah.
But it took place in 2020,
gosh,
right before the pandemic. I remember that because I was watching that in the bullpen at the Seattle sports radio station I was working at, getting ready to do a pregame show for the Seahawks and the Packers. Packers ended up winning that game with Aaron Rodgers. So, back to the scene of the crime. 9-point underdogs. And look, the Chiefs were very good this season. They were 15-2. The Houston Texans, hey, they were 10-7.
Double-digit wins.
I think most of the station had them at 11-6 or so.
Mm-hmm.
10-7, it was a disappointing year because of the way that the offense looked, but they were close to getting the win total that we were all looking for. But guess what? Joe, it's the playoffs. You know what that means? The Kansas City Chiefs, they're 0-0.
That's true.
And the Houston Texans, they're
0-0. 1-0?
They're 0-0.
Okay, they're 0-0. Okay,
they're
0-0. Okay. I was wondering if it changed a little bit in the playoffs. So everyone's 0-0.
I'm an arrogant man, Joe. I was born in the Northeast. I grew up a Patriots fan. This is the real first round of the playoffs. I will always feel that way. And honestly, for the Patriots, at one point, it was their God-given right to begin the playoffs in the AFC Championship game, sort of the same way with the Houston Astros until this past season. They don't have their season begin until the American League Championship Series. But both teams are 0-0. Here is Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans at a press conference talking about the opportunity to play Kansas City. He's excited.
We understand what's in front of us. Great team. KC has done a great job for the past few years of really dominating the league, you know, being there at the end. You know, have great coaching staff, great players, great team all the way across the board. So it's a really tough challenge for us. We're excited about the opportunity we have versus KC. We know it's a tough team to beat, right? It's going to take everything that we have. It's going to take all four quarters. Similar to our last game, we just have to stay the course, remain persistent throughout the game, and find a way to win in those critical moments.
Not enough for me.
You need more?
I need more. If I'm going to swarm up a storm, I need the DeMeco Ryans, the same DeMeco Ryans who said at that same press conference, hey, bro, if you don't swarm, you're out. I need this DeMeco Ryans. This is DeMeco Ryans mic'd up during Texans Chargers.
Let's go, man. Let's go. Let's go. We here, man. We here. We here, man. Let's go. We here. Let's go.
We here.
Great job. Hey, that's how you strike, boy. That's how you strike. That's it all day.
That's him talking to Aziz Alshire at the end. We here! We here! That's how you strike, boy!
Feeling okay over there?
My hair got a little bit out of place.
It did. Look, he's a totally different guy on the sidelines, in the locker room after a game, at the podium when he's defending his men. On just a normal day, Milk Duds, a little Milk Toast.
Hey,
just, you know,
Steven Nelson over here calling
a little vanilla.
Our fearless leader, D'Amico Ryans. I like that we got to see him mic'd up. I also like that we got to see after the game, D'Amico Ryans mentioning the bye week.
Yes.
Behind closed doors, things are different than they are at the podium. We had an inkling that was the case. It's nice to have that confirmed. It's going to be really interesting to see who swarms the most this coming Saturday.
Who's the swarmiest of the swarmers?
Who is the Lord of Swarm? Yeah, Joe. Who is the Lord of Swarm for the Houston Texans? Who is the guy that when you go into Kansas City to play the Chiefs, that you are following into, I believe as they say during medieval sieges, the breach?
I think it's Aziz.
Aziz Al-Shaair?
Yeah, I think Aziz is the leader of Swarm. Because Will Anderson's a little nice. So, like, I don't know if he can be like, he's your number two in the Army. But I Aziz is the guy. I mean, the one hit we didn't even really talk about was the one hit he had. I think it was on J.K. Dobbins in this game. He was all over the place.
Oh, he crushed him. That's where D'Amico came over to him.
Oh, is that what that's? Okay.
And is literally chest bumping him. They have, of the many guys who are D'Amico Ryan's guys, which is something we've learned from DJ Bienema, he has his guys and he has his guys who are not his guys. Aziz is towards the top. And what Aziz does out there is F bleep up, you know? Andy Reid even made reference to it yesterday. Hey, they didn't have him the last time around. And hopefully his presence in this game will help the Houston Texans out a lot. But he flies around. He smokes people. He pisses off other fan bases. Jaguars fans are getting in their feelings. A random Los Angeles Times writer was getting in his feelings after he tried to punch out a football while Ladd McConkey was going to the ground.
Yeah, that was the softest tweet of the weekend.
Yeah, honestly, I think it was racist. I think he saw a black man going after a white man, and he thought, assault. Classic L.A. May as well work for the LAPD, Sam Farmer.
Didn't think just football play?
No. He was thinking, oh, I got to beat his ass like Rodney King.
What a
classic
stupid.
L.A.
Oh, my God.
What? It's the L.A. mindset.
It is the L.A. mindset.
L.A. mindset. And listen, we wish them all well. I mean, they're going through some stuff right now. That's not an excuse to be racist, L.A.
Yeah, but these are still mostly Chargers fans, so it's a little bit different. And
oh, yeah, they're mostly from San Diego. That's
yeah,
true.
So I don't even know. I was going to start asking people on Saturday, like, how many of them are actually from L.A.? I assume most of them were from San Diego. Yeah, Aziz to me is the leader of Swarm for the Houston Texans. This team look so different when he's on the field. Even like when he got hurt at the beginning of the game, there was kind of like this little panic I was feeling. It was just like, what's this defense going to look like? Like, yes, you have Christian Harris. Yes, you have Henry To'o, but he is just a game changer. And it will be interesting to see how much of an impact he makes on this game since they didn't have him the last time they played.
Who is the Lord of Swarm for the Houston Texans? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. A bunch of Houston Texans defenders have nicknames. Danielle Hunter, Cyborg. D'Nico Autry, Junkyard Dog. Mario Edwards, Wild Dog. Foley Fatukasi, Big Dog. They're obsessed with dogs.
Yep.
The Texans.
Clearly.
It seems like it's either robots or
dogs.
Correct.
Cyborg, there's also the Terminator.
Yes, Mr. Will Anderson himself. We'll get to Anderson in a moment. Derek Barnett is killer.
His stands out on this list because it's not a dog or a robot.
It's not killer dog, killer robot.
No, his name's not Michael Vick. Come on, man. Like, it doesn't stand. Yeah, he doesn't fit into this grouping of dogs and Terminator, or dogs and cyborgs. Of this group, Will Anderson.
Yeah.
He's the Terminator. He is the Lord of Swarm for the defensive line.
You guys know what that's from, right?
Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator 2.
I was curious how long you could go.
I could keep on going for a while. Terminator 2 is one of my favorite movies.
It's a great movie.
I like that Will Anderson is nicknamed the Terminator. I just find it funny because he's truly the sweetest Terminator of all time. Like, you don't even need John Connor to tell him, hey, no human casualties here. You don't even need that.
Yeah, but he does want human casualties.
Yeah, well,
when the whistle blows, it's killing time.
I mean, he sees Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And free shot, and he's looking up, and he says, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
He even told me that. This is Will Anderson with Chancellor Johnson after the game being asked, I think for the fifth time after the game, about the Texans being disrespected going into their game against the Chargers.
Keep it a bug with me. Did you guys feel disrespected at all?
Of course. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all grown men who love the game, who play the game, who hear it. And at the end of the day, you got to go against another grown man. And you got to go out there and drop your nuts and go play football.
Ooh! Sounds like a Terminator to me.
I like that. He's right. So you just got to drop him.
Terminator 2 when he learns all the slang, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It was very interesting hearing Chancellor Johnson. And listen, I'm not cool. This is me getting old. He said, keep it a buck. So that means keep it 100.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
Sounds cooler.
To me, I did my live stream yesterday. I was asking people, like, wait, what the hell does that mean? Did he say keep it above? Keep it a buck? Mm-hmm. In that moment right there, I felt like I was 50 years old.
It's all right.
I don't think
Will Anderson's a young guy. I don't know how old Chancellor Johnson is.
Yeah, so like Chancellor's not.
I think Chancellor's younger than me.
Oh, okay.
I think most folks in Houston media are now younger than me, and this drives me crazy.
That's not true.
I used to be the baby boy.
No, you're just focusing on the ones that are younger.
Yeah, you're right in the middle.
Thank you. You guys always lift my spirit.
I see the olds in
yeah,
the press box.
Yeah, there's still plenty of 40 and 50.
Yeah.
You're like D'Amico Ryans on the sidelines getting in my chest.
We hear, Paul.
We hear. We hear. What was the thing that he said at the end? Can you play that one more time? I honestly just want to hear that all the time. Whenever we feel like our energy is going down, we need a little D'Amico Ryans in our chest.
Let's go. Let's go, man. Let's go. Let's go. We here, man. We here.
We here.
We here.
We here.
Let's go. We here. Let's go. We here. Great job. Hey, that's how you strike, boy. That's how you strike. That's it all day.
That's how you strike, boy. Although can I say that word? I don't think I can.
I think it depends on the context in which you say it.
Confession.
Yes.
High school football, junior year. I'm on punt team. One of my teammates, Clay, was being an idiot on the sideline and talking trash to our arch rival, Northside Christian. We were kicking their ass. And I said to our team, let's get back to the sideline, boys. Let's get back to the sideline. One of the coaches on my arch rival accused me of being racist. I actually had a meeting with my coach.
Stop.
After the game was done. Not kidding. Because I said, boy. And I was like, no, I was talking to our team. He had to explain it to me and lay it out for me. And I was like, oh, damn, really? That's I thought I was in trouble. My coach brought me into the office and said, what did you say? And I'm like, I don't know. They said, what did you say on the sideline? And I was like, I was telling Clay to stop being an idiot.
Gosh.
I almost got canceled in high school.
I mean, people are soft.
Yeah, Northside Christian, soft boys. That is why Mike Allstott.
Can we have to change the name of the segment now?
That's why Mike Allstott had to take over. What?
Soft boys?
Oh, that's 12:30. Oh. Chris has a thought on Aziz Alshahir at 713-780-3776. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. I love the show. So I was watching the game, and honestly, I can't remember which game it was. If I believe it was the slaughter of Sam Darnold on Monday night, but I saw a hit where it was the same exact hit as Aziz Shaier put on Lawrence, but he didn't go out.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, did he get that big of a punishment because he knocked him out, or is it just that? I just don't understand.
I think it was largely, Chris, the optics. I think it was largely the optics. Because first off, Lawrence is fencing. Second off, it's literally right next to the Jaguars' sideline. Third, the play ended. Four, the Jaguars all came on the field to defend their guy after the tight end for the Jaguars came over.
Evan Ingram?
Evan Ingram, yeah. Yep. He came over and started swinging. And that led to a fight. And then Aziz, who was in the heat of battle, had a really tough time giving up,
yeah,
and he had to get dragged away. So the totality of the aftermath, I think, led to it. The optics online created a discussion that was very one note. Aziz Alshahir is the dirtiest player in the league. It was unnecessary roughness, but sliding lends itself to moments like that. And I think that defenders are in a really difficult spot a lot, especially when it comes to quarterbacks sliding. I don't think it was intentional. I know a lot of people did. I thought Aziz wanted to hit the guy, but I don't think he wanted to knock him out. And the way he slid lend itself to that. And that's why it turned into a three-game suspension, because everyone was talking about it in a rather dead, what was it, like week 14?
Yeah, it was late in the year. And he does have a lot of penalties this year and a lot of fines over his career. So, like, there is a history.
And that's why John Runyon came in with the character assassination. Like, there are a lot of things that worked against Aziz there. But you are right. Like, these hits do happen often. And it's only when the quarterback gets hit and the fencing happens that we really get mad. If we don't see that, kind of shrug.
And everyone forgets about it.
Exactly.
It gets shown during the broadcast. It gets talked about. But then, and maybe like it'll go like a little mini viral on social media. But like it's not a lead topic on ESPN the next day, because if it's just a penalty and nothing else happened, like no one cares. So it's part of it. Like it's part of the reason why I think we were also strongly against the suspension. The idea of it was because it's a play that you see often. So the fact that we've seen it in the playoffs and we've seen it after that game, even things that were close to it, I think we all kind of expected that to happen.
Yeah, this is just the way the NFL is these days. You know? He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Let's just keep on going. So, Joe, you asked this question in our pre-show conversation. What are you most confident that the Houston Texans can replicate from the Chargers game in Saturday's game against the Chiefs?
Well, I think the position group I have the most belief in, and why I think it's the one thing they can replicate the most is the defensive coverage. And it's why, you know, look, it's 17-16 when Tank Dell scores. They don't play football for, I don't know, it was like 15, 20 minutes where they like to get Tank off the field. I mean, it was
it took a while.
It was a long period of time.
I think there were multiple commercial breaks.
Yeah, I think there was like three commercial breaks, and they were not just like coming back and going right back to break. Like they were, you know, filibustering in between each break. So it's a 1-point game, and you have these wide receivers who are largely unproven. DeAndre Hopkins has not been super useful for them. He played less than 50% of the snaps.
He's proven, but not the same player.
Yes, not the same player. And maybe that was a strategy thing, because they gave up a lesser draft pick by playing him that much. Like, we could see a more active DeAndre Hopkins in this game. I don't think so, but I'll listen to the argument. I'm most confident that they can repeat the same performance from the secondary. That Bullock, Stingley, Lassiter, that they can go out there and they can play in the way they did and they can lock these guys down. I just don't think there's a ton of talent at the wide receiver position for Kansas City. Also, they don't have a Ladd McConkey, and really the only guy is Travis Kelce is the question.
I'm not going to say DeAndre Hopkins is dead, and I think Hopkins' physicality is something the Chiefs should try to use as much as they possibly can against the Texans' corners because of how physical Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter are. But the other Chiefs receivers, since Rashee Rice is not going to be out there, Hollywood Brown, smaller guy.
Xavier Worthy,
smaller guy. Mm-hmm. So that does help you out. Having Al Shaair back makes you feel pretty good about the Texans' ability to stop the Chiefs on the ground. They've had a tough time trying to get things going this year, even with Pacheco back and with Kareem Hunt. So I'm with you. I think that's a very good one to lean on. Really, it is about the Texans' secondary continuing to do what it did in a lot of home games this year against a receiver core that they are better than. Now, this is the unfortunate thing for both the Texans secondary and for the Texans pass rush. Justin Herbert doesn't like running. He can run, but sort of like CJ Stroud, he doesn't like running that much. Mm-hmm. And I think that lent itself to the Texans pass rush constantly being in Herbert's face. Mahomes is so good at escaping. I think that's his most underrated trait, his ability to find a way out of traffic and roll outside. It reminds me of early Russell Wilson. Not only that, he's bouncing off guys because Wilson was a smaller guy, but more, he can do these figure eights behind the line of scrimmage, and he never seems to lose track of what's going on downfield. That's so impressive. And again, Mahomes, one of the best ever already. I wonder about, with that Texans pass rush going against a Chiefs offensive line that is worse than the Chargers, at least based off of everything we've heard, are they going to be able to get the same kind of pressure on Mahomes? And this lends itself back to Aziz Alshaair. I'm wondering if they're going to have him spy on Mahomes over the course of the game that might be the key. Is Al-Shaair going to get beat to the outside by Patrick Mahomes when he does those annoying scrambles on the sidelines and somehow figures out a way to get a first down every single time without getting touched? Al-Shaair is not someone who is going to let that happen laying down, you know? We obviously saw that against Trevor Lawrence. He is a habitual line stepper.
I've already kind of like mentally prepared myself for like a 15-yard penalty late hit on the sideline.
Oh, no doubt. It's the Chiefs. I mean, I think the calls in that first Texans-Chiefs game, their impact on the game were overstated because the C.J. Stroud first touchdown pass, the Texans got away with a hold on that play. Obviously, there was a holding call, I think, on Derek Stingley that was BS. And I forget what the other call was that wasn't a very good one. Like the refs are the refs. But yeah, there will be a 15-yard penalty for someone hitting Patrick Mahomes, the same way they hit Justin Herbert on Saturday.
When we talked about the game, the Aziz play when it happened, Patrick Mahomes was the example. It was earlier in the season when he was going out of bounds and everyone stopped and he just went right back inside and just kept running down the field. Like, Aziz hit him. Like you don't have to... We're not trying to kill the guy, but, like, hit him. It's totally fine to, if he's going to go out of bounds, do not let him come back into your territory or the field. Even if you get a 15-yard penalty and they score on the next play, I don't care. Hit him.
I'm with you. Light his ass up. If he's going to do that sneaky BS, get it. I get it. It's a 15-yard penalty. I will endorse any hit of Patrick Mahomes that is a hard hit. I want him to look the same way he looked against the Bucs in that Super Bowl a couple of years ago, where he's running for his life. I think he was the most pressured quarterback in NFL history in that game, 29 pressures. I want that, and I want him to feel it, because that's how you win. You make a man who just had a kid, I think number three.
Yeah, puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
It does.
Maybe he slides a little more. Maybe he runs out of bounds a little
more. I mean, he's got to protect himself.
There is a case to be made that just taking the 15-yard penalty on the first time he does that and you hit him there and you get the 15-yard penalty, there is a thought of like, well, now he, again, is going to think twice about doing it for the rest of the game, where if you don't do that, you're probably giving up more than 15 yards over the course of the entire game with him doing the tightrope, the sideline, and then cut back in kind of thing.
That's a good way. A little math there.
Yeah, you're just like, the first time he does it, like, nope. Not going to work with number zero on the field. Not going to work with Al-Shaair out there.
And the math says get the penalty. I like that.
I think Joe's right, the secondary replicating what it did against the Chargers.
And not four interceptions, because the Twitch is taking it too literally.
Right.
Asking for four interceptions.
Because Mahomes isn't going to be that careless with the football. But Mahomes does turn it over occasionally.
And you don't have to have four interceptions to have the same level of performance that you had largely in this game. Derek Stingley Jr. had five pass deflections in this game. I mean, he was as locked down as you can get, and then so was Lassiter. You don't need to have four picks. I mean, Mahomes is not going to – you're going to have to earn those interceptions if you're going to get any.
Here's what's frustrating about – this is the thing I think the Texans can replicate the most from the Chargers game. That's the good thing. The bad thing is their offensive inconsistency. I mean, it's all year. I'm just hoping they don't replicate the turning the football over three times thing. Could have been four times. Could have been five times. I mean, it could have been a lot more. The Derwin James interception, I still think it was an interception. I know a lot of people disagree. Whatever. You also almost had that interception early on. What, the third throw of the game for C.J. Stroud?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that concerns me, especially on the road, and especially now that there's no Kate Stover.
No Deontay Johnson. What a big deal.
And we'll see what happens.
If they have 11 minutes of time of possession to your minute and 30 seconds, like what happened in this last game.
Yeah, the defense isn't holding the wall.
It ain't going to be 6-0.
Right. I mean,
that's the problem.
Chargers, they are undermanned from a skill position perspective. Like, Quentin Johnson completely no-showed in that game. But from a... I'm having a bit of a brain fart. From a weapons standpoint, they have more than the Chargers have to work with. A couple of texts before we get to Gary on hold. From the 346, we are trying to make QBs bleed. If you're Aziz, Bulls on Fool, H-Town. Christian Velez on YouTube comments, can you imagine the overanalyzed outrage if Aziz simply tackles 15? Yes, I can. I absolutely can.
People are going to freak out.
Velas is also saying that one of the reasons Christian Harris maybe didn't play is because Harris, who spied Lamar Jackson last year in the divisional round, was mostly successful. He's saving him for this. No, it's the playoffs. You don't hold anyone back at this time of year, especially if you're the Texans. They always say every game we look at it the same way. From the 713, the Texans are a pack of wild dogs out there, ruthless, reckless, on the swarm at all times, ready for them Kansas City Chiefs. Ever seen a pack of dogs or a pack of hyenas go out? Whoa, hyenas, they eat all the bones. After it as a team, that's what we saw last weekend was a team. I had my doubts to all the seasons, but we're looking good, baby. Texans swarm! Gary has a thought. 713-780-3776. Gary, yo.
Hey, I think the Texans win the game 27-20. I just think it's one of those days. But I also think you don't go after Pat. Like, I can go after him with no cheap shot because we don't want to piss him off. I remember the game against the Raiders. I don't know if it was last year or this year. The defensive end for the Raiders, they had him mic'd up, and he actually hit Pat a little late. And all he did was piss him off, and he turned into Superman and end up coming back and throwing that in his face. I think get after him like Tampa Bay, but if you take cheap shots, you're pissing everybody off. Now the defense.
I get where you're going. I get where you're going, Gary. And the 15-yard penalties would be kind of consistent with some of the Texans shooting themselves in the foot over the course of the year. But I think he's talking about Max Crosby. I'm guessing he would be the one mic'd up on the Raiders there. Yeah, you can piss off Max Crosby. You can piss off Patrick Mahomes in a game. You can also knock his ass out. I mean, that's the fine line there.
And we saw what happened two weeks ago. Carson Wentz, bad at football.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Texans, I don't care. If the Texans get to their first ever AFC championship game, and it's because they knocked out Mahomes, don't care. No asterisks for me. You still got there. That's all that matters.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
Doesn't matter.
AFC title game finalist.
Yep. Kill Mahomes on the way. That's fine.
All right.
That's all that matters.
Before we go to break, one last comment from the Twitch. I just like it because this is from the Mighty Ducks. At Black Bass Master 420. Have you guys ever seen a flock of toros flying in perfect formation? It's beautiful. Awesome the way they all stick together. Toros never say die. Ever seen a toros fight? No way. Why? Because the other animals are afraid. It's definitely wrong with ducks. They know that if they mess with one toro, they gotta deal with the whole flock. I'm proud to be a toro, and I'd be proud to fly with any one of you. So how about it? Who's a toro? Texas
Swarm!
Sorry, that was a quick one. He's Joe and Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. You want to chime in as we try to get you pumped up for Texans and Chiefs on Saturday? You can at 713-780-3776 to call to text. Who's been soft in the world of sports? Jaguars fans at it again. The Los Angeles Times and a lot more. Stay put.
Your home for the college football playoff is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Big time. Best in the business. Best in the business. Best in the business.
Can you guess who D'Amico Ryans was talking about right there while mic'd up on Saturday, Joe?
Kyamie Fairburn.
No, not a bad guess. Fairburn had an incredible first half of the year, especially from 50-plus. Pretty good season as a kicker. Sean, can you guess?
Nico Collins after a touchdown.
Would have been good. I would have guessed C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, maybe C.J.
Because he does love C.J. Stroud. I mean, he goes out of his way to single out C.J. Stroud after a lot of games, even when he's not having the best game. That was Derek Stingley. Two interceptions on Saturday, 5 deflected passes, and to what Joe was saying, Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, those two matching up against a Chiefs receiver corps that really is hoping for a blast from the pass from DeAndre Hopkins. If we're talking about just matching up with physical corners like that, I'm with you. I think that's the thing that the Texans can keep going from last week in this game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, because the only thing they really got on you is speed. Like they're way faster than – I mean, Quentin Johnson, he supposedly could run fast.
Ladd McConkey's fast.
Yeah, he's deceptive.
Oh, that's so racist. That's so racist, Joe.
What?
It's not deceptive at all. That guy ran by the whole defense for a 90-yard touchdown.
no, they're burners, these guys. So that's the only thing they really
have. White guy can't be a burner? Putting us down, Joe. God.
Sorry. We'll see how your flag football game goes on.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Honestly, I'm not sure I'm going to go. I forgot the national championship's on.
It's your first game?
It might be my first game. I'm not in the shape I need to be.
Will you be off the team if you don't go?
Probably not. DJ seems skeptical I'm never going to join.
Yeah,
so.
But then, no, it's a national championship game. They shouldn't be having games that night anyways.
I agree.
Kind of football league plays on the night of the national championship?
Well, I've asked DJ, why do you keep getting in leagues on Monday? But no one cares about that. No one cares about my flag football stories, okay? I appreciate you caring. I do. But from a Chiefs perspective, yeah, Xavier Worthy, so fast.
Yeah. Hollywood Brown.
They do have Kalen Bullock. And I think Stingley, his size gives him a little extra range that even if Worthy maybe gets a step on him, Stingley's ball skills in the air lend themselves to, if he's a step by you, he can still catch up. And I would say the last interception that Stingley had, he showed that. It did look like that receiver had a step on him for a moment. But Stingley, because he basically is a wide receiver playing corner, he was able to track it down, corral it for that second interception. JG has a thought on the Texans at 713-780-3776. JG, yo.
Yo, what's up with y'all? All right?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Man, I'm blessed. Hey, I just want to chime in. I heard earlier that a dude said something about you don't want to make Patrick Mahomes mad.
Gary, why last not? Caller.
That's what we want. You see what I'm saying? Let's go get him. That's what I'm saying. If we go in there playing scared, then that's where we're going to lose at. Man, forget all that. Man, go hit him. Go bring that hat to him. Get him scared. That's what we need to do. That's why a lot of teams in the league now, you let Patrick Mahomes do what they want to do, because they scared of him. Oh, it's Andy Reid. Oh, yeah, we're always. Man, get all that. Man, go there, man. Bring that hat to him, man. We ain't got time for all that, man. We can't play scared now. I'm tired of us getting right here and losing. I'm tired of it. I love my Texans. But this right here, I've seen people happy that we won. I'm telling people right now, that's nothing. I'm tired of we always make it to. I want something new. I want to make it to the AFC. I want to make it to the Super Bowl. Man, bring that hat to him, man. Don't be scared. Bring that hat to him. And another thing, CJ got to do a lot better on offense. I know we have four other first yards on offense, yeah, but he's going to have to do a lot better as far as them. That was crazy in the season. I don't know why he did that, but he's going to do a lot better as far as protecting that ball. Man, I believe in him. I think there's going to be a snapback for him. I think he's going to have a nice game. I don't think he's going to throw. If he throws interceptions, I think it'll be one interception. Then he's going to snap back. But other than that, I'm going for I think we got it. Then last game, got to remember this too. We didn't have Nico Collins last game. You see what I'm saying?
Well, he was there.
Now we got our number one back.
He was there. He was there in that Chiefs game. But, JG, this call is fantastic. This call is fantastic. Please do not be a stranger. And I want you to join in with me and Joe and Sean as we do a Texan swarm together. Ready? 3, 2, 1, Texas swarm!
Yeah. Swarm! Yes!
Let's go, buddy. JG, seriously, appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate
you please call back in again. That was good stuff.
Man. Hey, I just want to say, my listening y'all, every day when I'm off work, man, y'all keep doing y'all thing, man, And keep riding for the city, man. Appreciate y'all.
JG. Hell yeah, dude. That's the best call we've had in a while.
I like you, JG. I like your initials. I like your attitude.
And that wasn't you.
It was not me. Or Granato.
Okay.
Although there was a chance this could be Granato for a second. I mean, I know he's on his way to Mexico, maybe. It doesn't look great outside
yeah,
right
John
now.
John Granato calling him with a black scent. Like, that's that. No, we can't have that. Come on, JG. What are we doing? No, just kidding. That was a great call.
And like, I lean with... with JG more than I lean with Gary. Like, if you're gonna hit him, you're gonna hit him. Like,
yeah, kick his ass.
Honestly,
go down swinging. You're underdogs. You're 9-point dogs on the road against the 2-time defending Super Bowl champions who won 15 games this year.
And you know what? It's like the Rex Ryan thing, where the Rex Ryan thing is not why the Texans won this weekend. If you crush Patrick Mahomes and they get mad, it's not gonna be why the Chiefs beat you. They are the 2-time defending Super Bowl champions. They've won I think it's six of their last seven playoff games that they've won have all been by one score or less. So they're an extremely clutch football team. We know that. They won all these games this year. Like, just because you make them mad, it's not going to be the reason why you lose. So hit them.
Hit him. Hit his ass.
Unless you take Andy Reid's cheeseburgers, and like maybe you're in trouble. But like that's
from the 8-3-2, if the Texans get to the AFC Championship game against the Bills, they're going to the Super Bowl. If they get the Lions, they're winning the Super Bowl. That's wild. All right, let's one game at a time, Brad. One game at a time. They've never won this round.
Again, I remember when the Texans were going to host a AFC title game against the Titans in 2019 because they're up 21-0 on the Chiefs. God. Like, let's. I remember having that thought of, oh my God, they're going to host the AFC title game.
I remember when the 11-1 Texans were going to have a home playoff game in the second round of the playoffs before playing a Monday night football game against a certain team that shall not be named. From the 747, Key from LA says, not being biased, but whose defense played better, the Texans or Rams? The Rams did have 9 sacks. They did a really good job. It is Sam Darnold against Justin Herbert. I think Herbert's way better than Darnold.
Yeah, I was very, very, very impressed by the grandson of Don Shula, his defense out there. They're the youngest defense in the NFL. Jared Verse, their first-round pick, was incredible. I think the Texans was better, but I think we're talking like in the margins. It's not by much.
The thing with the Rams is the Rams defense, I think, DVOA-wise, is in the 20s for the entirety of the year. And yeah. I think the Texans have proven more. But that was an incredible performance, especially given the stakes with them having to go play a game not at home in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like that was the Vikings. It was going to probably be a pretty Vikings-heavy crowd in L.A., but it was even more Vikings-heavy because they played it in Glendale.
Yeah, maybe we just didn't find the audio or no one's tweeted or anything, but I don't think there is an audio clip of the Chargers play-by-play man going, stop throwing picks! Yeah. Like there is for the Rams guy going, throw the ball!
Yeah, I think you're saying run.
Run the ball.
Take off and run.
Get rid of it, man!
Get rid of it!
Get rid of it, man!
Yeah. A couple of comments saying that call from JG made them want to run through a wall, both on YouTube, Christian Velez, and on the text line. I think it was from the 409. All right, we normally do this every Wednesday at 12:30, but I was swarming. I was swarming up a storm. It's time for some soft boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports? 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Hit it!
Soft boys, in a tough sitch, Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka called out LeBron James for bitching and moaning and called him a soft-ass boy in the midst of a Rockets-Lakers game, we do this once a week. Who's been soft in the world of sports? I got a kick out of all the Jaguars fans that we figured were done watching football, given the way that their season has gone. I figured they were done watching football as soon as Azeez Al-Shaair took down Trevor Lawrence, but they all came crawling back out of the woodwork like cockroaches after Azeez Al-Shaair, on a play where Ladd McConkey made a reception, comes in late trying to punch the football out. Many believe that he was punching him in the head. At Keanu Carg, who was a Florida Gator alum and a Magic/Jaguars fan, so a sad, depressed man.
Yeah.
Made a lot of bad choices in his life, although Florida's a good school to go to. But this man, angry, and also Sam Farmer from the Los Angeles Times, who said, interesting tactic by linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair. Someone's never played football. Someone's never watched Peanut Tillman. Both y'all, soft. I get it. That one hit that he had on Trevor Lawrence was unnecessary roughness. But guys going for the ball, it's the playoffs. What are you talking about? It's do or die.
Not surprised. People are going to react this way now as the rest of his career. Unfortunately for Azeez, this is going to be the wrap on him. Every single time there is anything that happens, it is borderline. And like maybe the punch was a little late, but we know what the intent was. Trying to get the ball out.
He's trying to get the ball out. And Al-Shaair, to his credit, to what you're saying, Joe, how he's going to have that reputation the rest of his career. You want me to be the villain? Okay. He posted that on social media.
He did.
So he really has become that to every other fan base in the NFL. But much like when we had Patrick Beverley here with the Rockets, Draymond Green with the Warriors, you hate him when he's not on your team. This guy's on your team. You love him. And Al-Shaair on Saturday I'm hoping he makes a big impact because he was not there the first Texans-Chiefs game. He was suspended. Also suspended for the Ravens game. You really want to do some spin doctoring here? Zizal Shahir doesn't get suspended. How do those games go? I would think that the Ravens game wouldn't have been that bad. I mean...
they still only would have scored 2 points, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, defensively.
Okay.
I mean...
27-2?
Maybe it was 10-2.
I mean, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry did whatever they wanted. I would think having him would make it so that they didn't do everything they wanted.
I mean, look,
24-2.
If you are fortunate enough to play Buffalo or Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, Aziz might be the most important player on the team because of those two running backs. Like, it's...
Yeah, and the two quarterbacks.
And the two quarterbacks. Like, they both run great. The running backs are awesome. It's not easy for those two teams.
This is a funny comment from Black Bassmaster 420. Paulie, will you shave your head, mustache, and eyebrows when the Texans win? Need to get rid of the Andy Reid look and transition to the D'Amico look.
I'll shave my head if the Texans go to the Super Bowl.
Boom. We got it.
All right. Here we go.
Deal.
That's our show's
bet. I'm not eating poop.
Yeah.
Someone asked us that the other day.
And it's not that much work to shave your head either. But you've wanted to shave your head for a while.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find a good reason.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
I can go to Dana and be like, I lost a bet.
I don't know. Things got crazy on
the show.
Why'd
you make it? It's not like I volunteered.
I like this. I like this as a bit where...
Just say I bullied you into it.
Just keep making wagers?
Yes.
Like, it's like Match with Mac. Like, he's got his plan. He's going to make a bet. So whatever furniture you buy, he's going to use that money to make a bet and, you know, come out even.
If Notre Dame wins, I'll shave my head. And then if the Rockets make the West Finals, I'll shave my head.
I'll just keep doing it until one hits.
Keep rolling it over.
Yeah.
I'm not shaving my head. No, I'm not doing that. My hairstylist, first off, said she would, Annie, she said she would kill me if I ever did because she believes that if you get rid of it all, it doesn't all necessarily grow all the way back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, my head is so white.
Same.
And I don't want to see what's underneath it because I routinely hit my head on things. I think it's just going to be like a misshapen.
Oh, like a bunch of little bumps?
Oh, yeah. It's going to look awful.
Scars all over it.
Right, exactly. And I have an abnormally large head, too. Like, the back of my skull goes back a little bit. It's a little weird. And sadly, does not mean more brain. No, I do not have more brain. Alas, earwax. Continuing in Soft Boys. The NBA's got to go. Stop coming after my man Anthony Edwards for making obscene gestures. Come on, what's up with that? He's gotten fined, I guess, $500,000 this year for a variety of obscene gestures.
What was this one? What did he do this time? Well, he's done the DX suck it.
Yeah,
that should be allowed.
He flicked off the referee with one middle finger, not two middle fingers.
Come on, it's only one. It's not a double burn.
$50,000 for that fine. The total for this year, 5 fines, twice for obscene gestures. I'm guessing the other one was middle finger. Oh, no, maybe it was the DX suck it. 3 times for having something to do with profane language. So it's not $500,000, but it's $285,000.
Good chunk of change.
That's a lot of money.
I thought this was America. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression. Free my man, Anthony Edwards.
No, not.
Oh, there's children there. They do it anyway.
Yeah.
The kids have... Listen, stop acting like Anthony Edwards is badly influencing your kids. The TikTok that you give to your kids because you're tired of yelling at them because you want them to stop being a little nuisance. The thing that you give them, their pacifier, their electronic pacifier, that is the danger.
TikTok's dead, so.
No, it's not.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't believe that for a
second. I have a nomination that I just found.
Elon's about to buy it. What you got, Joe?
I saw Mr. Beast also wants to buy it. Mm-hmm. I would like to nominate, and I know we're going to discuss this Jack Easterby article later.
Yes.
So I would like to nominate the author of the article, Ben Fisher, as a soft boy.
Oh.
Because this isn't the first time he's done this. He turned down an interview to come on the station to discuss said article.
Oh, what a puss.
The Bees invited him on the show today, and he said no.
Why not?
Not a scheduling conflict.
Nope.
Don't you want to promote your article in the Sports Business Journal, which no one reads?
Apparently not.
I read this article, and the article, if you pay heed to it, we'll get to it later, it feels like it's implying we are the problem.
Yes.
Everyone that has dealt with Jack Easterby, we're the problem. Dude, this pup piece, I don't care what Jack Easterby was paying you to write it, because clearly he did, and guess what? Since you're not going to come on, I'm just going to character assassinate you. You are not going to be able to pull up the joystick and save Jack Easterby's career so he can get it back into sports.
He's trying.
You're trying hard.
Ben Fisher, he tried.
Ain't worth it.
He's trying to help him get a job. Maybe he's supposed to be part of the payroll for the next job, but man.
This article brings up very few of the things that Easterby supposedly was doing behind the scenes. I don't think he did his due diligence. I think this guy just got Jack Easterby's side of the story and never got anything more. Anyway, whatever. We'll read that article in full a little bit later. Soft boys, not soft. We talked about the guy who's been stalking Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is definitively hard. Still, this is him while facing a judge and being formally charged with felony stalking. Here's a clinking.
Morning, Mr. Lewis.
Guilty.
No, sir. This is initial hearing.
Oh.
We are not.
Did you something to Stacey?
You have a right to remain silent, and I expect you to exercise that, okay? This is just telling you what the charges are. You do not listen. I'll give you a chance to talk. It's not your time.
Throw me the bookie.
Stop talking.
What did he say?
Throw me the bookie. Michael
Thomas
Lewis.
This guy's a full-on lunatic.
So he comes in. He says, guilty as charged, before he's even read his rights. The judge says, you have the right to remain silent. He cuts her off. Throw me the bookie. So he goes in, orange jumpsuit, black sandals, and kept on speaking out of turn. Courtroom deputies approached him and told him to sit up straight and not to interrupt. Lewis kept on saying, well, in the middle of the charges, can I say something? Can I say something? I need my medicines. I live in my vehicle. So the guy's clearly unhinged. His 2016 Toyota Avalon, he told the court, is ballpark 10 grand.
Ah,
must not
like
have many miles.
2016.
He does apparently live in it.
Yeah,
might be dirty, like Dirty Mike and the Boys.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't have to drive it to live in it.
It's probably under 10 grand.
Anyway, I don't want to make light of the charges that are against
him.
He's
in jail.
Because the charges against him are
pretty
damn serious. The guy's completely unhinged, and he definitely should be in jail, probably not just for society, but for himself. But he has no intention of posting bail. I don't want bond, bail, whatever. I'm here. I'm staked. Maybe he just wanted a house. The big house.
Three hots and a cot?
Feel like that.
Guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged.
I kind of wish we got that one clean, because that would be a good drop to have.
Yeah, what? That guy is definitively not soft, though. He is, you know what. Also not soft. Bo Nix played with a transverse process fracture in his back. I don't know what that means. Ow.
Sounds bad. Right?
I mean, honestly, considering they
could be not a hard injury. Like, or not a bad injury, but sounds bad.
I mean, he threw that touchdown pass at the beginning of the game to Courtland Sutton, so must not have heard at that moment in time, but maybe he was hopped up on painkillers, and as the game wore on, he started to feel it a little bit more. Because, I mean, the Broncos, they showed up at the first quarter. They were completely outmatched and outgunned, though, in that game because their offense has a lot of work to do. Also, not soft, Zane Gonzalez, kicker for the Commanders, who doinked in the game winner. He overcame obsessive-compulsive disorder to do it.
Yeah, that's why he kept patting his head
out
there. People were making fun of him, and then they found out they were being meanie pants.
They were very meanie pants.
But you know what? He doinked it in.
But whoever put it out there that he has OCD because he was getting made fun of for like an hour.
He was getting roasted. They're a little slow. Like, they need to defend your man.
Yeah. What was it? Was that a NBC game? Mike Tirico should have been out there with like, and we all know his story, battling OCD. And it's like, okay, so we won't make fun of him constantly going after his head.
Soft boys. Every single Wednesday at 12:30. Sean behind the glass. Joe to my right. I am Paul. It is Galan and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe suggested that he will shave his head if the Texans go on to the AFC Championship game and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The Twitch wants me to get a Prince Albert.
I just got the shivers.
What if I already have one?
How do I know that?
Well, I'm just asking a question. What if I already have one? Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. Maybe F yourself. Up next, you thought what Rex Ryan said about the Texans going into Texans Chargers was bad? Wait till you hear what this former Houston sports media superstar had to say about their chances in KC. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.